ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into some the NFL rule changes. Overtime has changed for the playoffs anyway. We'll tell you what that is. Also, an interesting change to hiring within the NFL. And I'm not sure that it's accomplishing what they think it needs to accomplish. Final Four coming up this weekend. Obviously, the talk surrounding the Final Four is Duke versus Carolina. Is this the most anticipated semifinal matchup? I know we've had some other finals that can definitely rival it, but as far as the semifinals, is this the most anticipated semifinals ever? I have written down some other ones that I think can give this one a run for its money, but it's certainly unique in that this will be the first time that teams from the same state and same conference will have played in the Final Four. How much is that hype going to take off the pressure for Kansas and Villanova? And then also, who do you think is the best player left in this tournament? Tiger at Augusta yesterday, made it through all 18 holes, seemed fine. Now we wait. What's the recovery? I mean, you know, I think that's the big part. First off, A, can he make it around? And then B, what's it like today? Could he go back and do it again? You know, that's obviously the caveat to playing the tournament. Bedlam baseball, literally a walk-off. We'll tell you who won that one. And then, back by my popular demand, it's taste test time again. You commandeered two of the three remaining flavors of Little Debbie ice cream that we were unable to locate back when we had the first taste test. You have found Honey Bun, and you had found Nutty Bars. And so we will...
You're lucky I needed deodorant yesterday, and I had to go to Walmart at lunch.
It is so funny because I honestly, every time I go out there, I make a swing through the ice cream aisle just to see, okay, are they here yet?
I do too.
Are they here? And I have, you know what? It shows you I haven't been out there in a while. It's been probably a week and a half or two.
Yeah, it's been a bit, but I just happen to.
I mean,
need
I go like
some,
on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I needed some essentials, and I happened to walk down that or walk past that aisle, and I just turned my head, and then boom, there it was.
It's funny because I normally, I'm not kidding, a lot, probably over half the time when I go to Walmart, I run into your wife. I see her at Walmart.
Which is odd.
And then I get to thinking, man.
She always does the pickup. So you're catching her at a rare time.
It's like coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I kind of see her sometimes there. But anyway, so that's going to be right off the top of the show. Getting our ice cream fix. And we'll kind of, it's been a while since we had the first one, but I'm sure we can remember. You dabbled into the Swiss cake roll yesterday as you were out there. So you remember what that one tastes like.
Yeah. So, I did more than dabble. Yeah.
Or
devoured.
Devoured. So that'll be right here off the top of the show. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The Paragon app is free to download. It's got all things Paragon. It has got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. A brand new edition of the Penny News hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. So check out the deals in this week's Penny News. Feel sorry for Blake on the today with the way the wind's whipping, having to go get the print copy of the Penny News. But he's going to go do that, and it'll be starting to filter out tonight into tomorrow. So you can go pick up a free copy of the Penny News that way. Got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Also in the app, and then, of course, outside the app, Skinny on Sports Podcast. can find that one on iTunes. You can find it on KADSAM.com. If you missed what we had to talk about on a certain day, go back and listen. You can do it. Hello, Jared.
How are you, sir?
I'm pretty excited.
Because of the ice cream.
Because of the ice cream. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't give a big shout-out to all the area firemen having to go up to Roger Mills County and battle those out-of-control blazes yesterday and today. I mean, the way the wind's whipping, you know, and what's crazy is, and this is Oklahoma for you, you know, you're trying to keep it from going one way yesterday because of the howling south winds, and as middle of the fight, have to turn around and try to keep it from going the other way as the winds are now howling out of the north. So
right.
I know there's been a bunch of people up there helping, a bunch of people volunteering, all those towns, it seems like, have volunteer fire departments and that kind of thing, and all the regular fire departments from towns up there helping out. So hopefully be nice to get a little bit of rain. Unfortunately, that wasn't in the cards for us last night to be able to help with that situation. But kudos to all those folks, and we're definitely praying for you, behind you, and hoping that everybody can make it out of there safe and get that thing figured out.
If you want to help, it's easy. Just, you know, get some water, bottled water. I know that fire departments always take those. That's what I always think about, is those guys – they're fighting fires, for crying out loud. They want to stay hydrated. You don't need to go to the fire to donate. You just go to the firehouse, the fire department, your local one, wherever it may be, because I guarantee if you could hear us, that fire department, wherever, what community you're in, is helping. Or they can get it to right people. Yeah, you want to help out. That's how you do bottled water, sports drinks, Gatorade, Powerade, whatever. Just do that. And I know a lot of people in times like this, and it's a trait out here, is people want to help. So I felt kind of bad. I heard there was a house.
Yeah, one. That's
one. I haven't heard of any injuries, thank goodness. And I say I felt bad because I heard that, you know, the winds have shifted, and I heard Dempsey area, which is a, you know, there's houses spread out there. But I'm sitting here thinking, man, my dad's deer stands. And then I'm thinking, Jared, what are you talking about? Homes are in danger, you know. So, please, if they tell you to evacuate, evacuate. Just get out of the path. Get out of the way. And so, I'm efforting some info on that to try to because, like the fire, that info is constantly changing, and it's hard to keep up with. So, I'm doing my best with that. But what we do know, a house was taken, and we do know a lot of departments in the area have responded to this, emergency management individuals. And again, I've heard people ask, how do we help? I'd say that's how you help. Just, you got bottled water, sports drinks, take it to the fire department, not the fire department, drop it off, and they'll disperse as needed.
This from somebody that's there. We have water. Send Dr. Pepper.
Hey, I like that. What? Yeah, good idea.
You know, I remember maybe it was even this guy. You know, like the wipes because of. You know,
I've heard of that, like baby wipes
and eye drops and that kind of thing, and chapstick and those other small things. I also got another picture from another guy, one of our 1240 listeners. That's happy that we got that fixed when we did. He was out there all night long as well. So, you know, that's the cool thing about a lot of those volunteer fire departments is people, you know, just normal old folks, you know, that volunteer their time when needed. So I asked my buddy up in Burlington yesterday, mid-afternoon. I asked him, because I know he does that. I asked him if he was fighting fire. He said, do not jinx it. No, not right now. And then I think they ended up getting some rain, so hopefully – you know, that kind of alleviates that for just a little bit anyway that way. But, of course, we could use it all across the area, no doubt, for multiple reasons. But one of those is certainly the fire danger with the way the winds will be whipping in the spring, in the springtime like they are now.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to talk about sports or do you want to eat ice cream?
This ice cream's going to melt if we wait any longer. Okay. I think that's the most anticipated thing.
Do you have – do you want an order?
Your show, whatever you.
Well, honey bun was the closest to me.
Okay,
so I will.
Honey bun ice cream sounds more like an AM.
I will grab the honey bun ice cream.
Sounds like a breakfast ice cream.
What would you call that? Kind of orangey brownish. color, orange there, kind of brown. Just like
open it up. Let's look at the
I'm talking about on the outside.
Okay.
You open it up, you see what appears to be what I would assume is like a cinnamon-looking swirl through there.
Okay.
It's not white, but it's not dark. It's kind of a cream color, I'd say.
Okay.
With some swirlies in there. Some kind of cinnamon-looking swirlies. Uh-oh, there's something kind of, there's something a little bit more solid through there. So I'm going to take an ample bite, and then I'll pass it to you.
Okay. And for our listeners, we are not sharing spoons, so. Reaction? Should I wait? Should I take a bite first and then get a dual reaction here? Okay. Man, I'm getting a big scoop here. Here we go.
What was that?
Are you getting something crunchy?
Yeah, there was crunch in there.
It's definitely honey bun.
It tastes just like a honey bun.
It really does.
You can almost taste the butteriness of the honey bun in that ice cream.
Yes.
Once again, it's nice and soft like all the other ones have been. You know, the texture of it is it's a softer ice cream than others that you have.
Now, is that because of our freezer not
I think it's just the way it is. It's okay. A softer ice cream.
Okay.
Let me see that back.
Going for a second scoop. The anticipation is.
I'm trying to figure out what that
crunch is.
I think it's like a cinnamony, buttery.
Yeah.
Just like chips in there or something.
I dig it. I like that. I like that. It's kind of like a, think of like a cookie dough ice cream.
Yeah, but it's not.
Not as soft though, but.
Well, and it's, but the chunks aren't as chewy as cookie dough. They kind of fall apart and melt with the cream. You know what I'm saying?
Because uh-huh.
I think it's just like cinnamon and sugar and buttery flavor. That one's good.
You like it?
I like that one.
How did we rate this the first time?
Okay, so thinking back.
I'm trying to remember.
I had Swiss cake roll number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had the strawberry two. I had oatmeal pie three. And I had brownie four. You had a different top two. You had strawberry one.
Yeah.
Swiss cake roll two. I actually think you had brownie three and you had oatmeal cream pie as the worst.
Yes.
It's how you had that ranked.
Because it just didn't taste exactly like I thought an oak, you know.
Right.
So that's right. Why I went that way. But this one tastes just like a honey bun. So
okay,
this could be up there.
Okay.
Okay. Honey bun was okay.
Nutty bar.
Nutty
it's a
bar.
Yellow
See,
container. It's got the Nutty Bars on the front.
Talking
red
to this subject about what we're doing here during dinner last night with the family. And I said, wow, guess what happened today? And I found these ice creams. And my wife said, you better save me some of that Nutty Bar.
Okay, this one, I'd be honest with you.
So she has high hopes for this one.
I assumed this was going to be a way darker ice cream because I thought it was going to be chocolate. So what this tells me is it's not a dark ice cream, but you can see some chocolatey flakes in it. This is going to be a peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Okay. More peanut butter than chocolate. I mean, there's obviously chocolate coating on a nutty.
It looks like chocolate chip. When you scoop down in there, it looks like a chocolate chip ice cream. See, but I'm telling you, it's going to be peanut butter.
This is the one that I thought would have, like what we just had, a crunch in it. Because you think of a nutty bar and the crunch
right.
when you
the
eat it.
The wafer and all that.
Yeah, yeah, a wafer, exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Oh!
Gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
That's leaps and bounds the best.
This is the best.
Leaps and bounds.
My goodness.
It's not
I think we have a winner.
It's not even close.
No.
In my, it is really, it is peanut butter ice cream. I don't know if I've ever had peanut butter ice cream.
This is great. This is hands
and it,
down the
and
best.
It has the crunch you're talking about, but it's not overly wafery. You
no.
can get the chocolate going through the peanut butter ice cream.
That's it right there.
I'm going to do one more just to make sure. One more bite just to make sure that my initial reaction.
That's it. That is it right there.
Listen.
Honey, if you're listening, this might not make it home.
Here's the deal.
Might have to go back to Walmart.
It's got the best combination of flavors because two of the things that go together better than any foods in the world are chocolate and peanut butter.
Yeah,
in my mind.
Exactly.
Now, I know some people don't like that combination, but if you do like chocolate and peanut butter, it'll be your favorite one. I mean, that is it. I don't think I've ever actually tasted peanut butter ice cream. Now, I've had, you know, sundaes with peanut butter mixed through it or whatever,
right,
but not where the ice cream is peanut butter. And so that's the first thing you get is, bam, peanut butter flavor. And then it's got enough of the crunchies with the wafer, the nutty bar in there,
mm-hmm,
that you immediately get that too, though. You get, oh, it's peanut butter ice cream. Boom, there's the chocolate. Oh, there's a little bit of crunch from the wafer. Man, this is awesome.
Yes.
So I think we're total agreeance.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
the best one.
Yeah.
Of all the six we've tried.
Yeah. Now, not knocking any of the others, but
I would go Nutty Bar 1. I would go Swiss Cake Roll 2. I would put Honey Bun 3. The Strawberry one 4. Oatmeal Pie 5. Brownie 6. That's how I go. Nutty Bar, Cake Roll, Honey Bun, Strawberry, Oatmeal, and Brownie. That's how I would rank the six. What say you?
Oh, well, goodness. Oatmeal pie last. I'd go Nutty number 1, followed by the Strawberry, Swiss Cake Roll. I mean, that's...
Then this one? Where's this one?
Yeah,
below
somewhere,
Swiss Cake
somewhere,
or above?
Oh, below. Below.
Okay.
Below. I'm not usually a fan of heavy chocolate ice cream, you know, but the Swiss Cake Roll, it had that hint of the filling, you know, kind of in there. That's why I kept eating it, because I just kept getting it. It was good, yeah. But the Nutty Bar, man, that was hands down. I mean, that's like a boring championship game because they blew it out of the water.
Yeah, I really liked the Swiss Cake Roll. I did. But it's not close to that one.
Yeah.
It's not close to that one. I think
and what's funny is when I went to Walmart, you could see like on the shelf like the names of each ice cream, and there was some that were sold out. Okay. And that would tell you that those are the most popular ones and they're selling out. They can't keep them in stock. And these were the guys that were left. This one in the Swiss Cake Roll. And I actually grabbed the last Swiss Cake Roll. So, secret's out, because now I think this one, the Nutty Bar, might be sold out after what we've just did.
Well, here's the thing.
We said our local Walmart.
I think that people will start, will initially, people are going to choose the ice cream by which is their favorite snack cake.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
If people, and that's no secret then to me why the oatmeal cream pie would be off the shelf first, because people love those
things. People love them.
I mean.
They are one of the most popular ones.
My gosh. I judged
that
baking contest that I judged at church on Sunday. That the lady made them from scratch.
That's
and I was
right.
Like, oh my gosh. But if you give the other ones a chance, I think you'll find out that the less popular snack cakes are the better ice creams. And here, you want to know why I think this?
Why is that?
Because they taste more like what you think it's going. They taste more like the snack cake than the more popular ones do. You know, like the oatmeal cream pie ice cream didn't really taste like the oatmeal cream pie.
Right.
And so that influences, then it pushes it down the list immediately. You know, the brownie one, everybody loves cosmic brownies. It didn't really taste like it. It didn't really have flavor.
Yeah. Like you ever grabbed a drink and you think you're about to drink a Dr. Pepper and you get Mr. Pibb instead? Like, that's not Dr. Pepper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So same thing. You go, okay, I know what a Nutty Bar tastes like.
Yeah,
or
but
I know
but
what an oatmeal cream pie tastes like.
That's right. But you're more, most people would be more connected to the oatmeal cream pie than the Nutty Bar. Does that make sense?
Yes, of course.
Just because they seem to be more popular in the snack cake aisle. But anyway, those two are two of the better ones for
sure. Oh, yeah. They're
for
great.
Sure.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, like I said, I had them both in my top three.
Can't really go wrong with ice cream in general, but you know, all of them were good, but we had to rank them here. Nutty Bar was our winner.
And we have one left, Zebra Cake. No offense to the Zebra Cake fans. I just don't see it being better than that.
We'll see. A monumental upset if it is.
Yeah, like St. Peter's making it to the Final Four. but yeah, kudos, Nutty Bar. Ooh. Ooh, heavens.
Oh, boy. I'm going to hide this in the freezer now.
Yeah, no. Sean didn't see us coming in here with ice cream, did he?
No, I don't think so. He would have heard it. You would have heard him say something.
Yeah, he'd be busting down the door.
Pitch, and he walked him, and you can unhitch the wagon. The Sooners have walked off the Cowboys in Tulsa.
That was non-conference Bedlam baseball last night in Tulsa. As a fun game. It was back and forth. Oklahoma State got out to a 4-0 lead. The Sooners quickly countered with three. Then it was tied. Then Oklahoma State went ahead on a solo home run in the top of the eighth. 6-5, OU came back with two in the bottom of the ninth, including that walk-off walk to end the game. And OU beats OSU 7-6, snapping that win streak for the Cowboys. But a good first installment. And here's the thing. Bedlam baseball series next weekend in Stillwater, and we have somebody that's going to be going.
Somebody.
Some four people, but somebody will have to take the other three that are going to go, depending on what happens in the Final Four this weekend on the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. But a fun game. I think Oklahoma State clearly so far has been the better team, the more highly ranked team, but any one day in a baseball game, you never know what's going to happen. Big win for Oklahoma, and they've been playing better than I think a lot of people thought coming into the season.
Yeah, and listen, throw out the records, rankings, and Bedlam. You've seen it go the other way. You've seen the better OU team lose to OSU, and that's just how it is. That's why they call it Bedlam, and that's a fun game, though. You like to see games like that where, like you just ran down the box score, back and forth with the lead changes and – it sets up the anticipation of a true conference Bedlam series coming up and what that can mean. And, it definitely adds confidence for OU moving forward, saying we could beat a top 10 team. And it always helps when that top 10 team is your in-state rival. So kudos to both teams. Gave us a great show.
Yeah, good point on the text line. In a midweek game like that, you're getting a fourth or a fifth starter. So it's not anybody you're going to see trotted out there to start in a series, but at the same time, it's if you're either one of those teams, it's always good to best your rival. Now, if you're OU, a cool thing, they're going down to Globe Life this weekend, so kind of a mimic of the OU Texas football game. That series, the baseball series, is going to be played in Globe Life starting on Friday, so that's neat. And then you go 2 weeks in a row back to back with Texas and then Oklahoma State, two of the better teams in the country.
Yeah, and again, the confidence thing. After winning, over one of your rivals, you can go down to Arlington and have a lot of confidence that you could take out another team like Texas, who's kind of reeling right now with how they lost the series to Texas Tech. They, too, played an old rival, A&M, yesterday and lost to them. So OU might be catching Texas at the right time for a key conference series.
Also yesterday, around the world of sports, a lot of eyes were focused at a place where nothing was really happening. That was Augusta National, as one Tiger Woods went, played, walked, by accounts of folks that were there. It went well, looked good. But I think today and in the next couple of days are just as important as yesterday. First off, with the way, if you don't realize, and it's hard to tell on TV, but anybody that's ever been, Jimmy's bringing in Ben and Jerry's. We're not a Ben and Jerry's show, Jimmy. And Snickers. Now, wait a minute. That may be after, he's a man after my own heart with the Snickers ice cream.
Oh, I love the Snickers ice cream.
What's that Ben and Jerry one?
The Tonight Dough, and it has Jimmy Fallon on it.
Oh, here, let me read it.
The way to distract us, Jimmy. We're
caramel and chocolate ice creams with chocolate cookie swirls and gobs of chocolate chip cookie dough and peanut butter cookie dough.
Oh, boy.
Ruh-roh.
It's the only thing that can get Skinny to not talk about golf if you bring in, not just golf, but Masters and Tiger Woods.
I know. He's totally derailed me with Snickers ice cream.
The Snickers ice cream, they have like a bar.
I've had the bar.
That is good. So yeah. I wonder if this tastes like that.
Well, there's only one way to find out, Jared. We may have to save this for tomorrow.
We might have
to. It's a tease. It's a tease for tomorrow's show. We'll try the Ben and Jerry's The Tonight Dough.
The Tonight Dough.
And Snickers ice cream. Thank you, Jimmy. Cousin Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy. Whatever. Appreciate him bringing in ice creams. And anybody else that wants to do that, feel free.
Ribs, ice cream, whatever you want to bring us.
Feel free to chime in. Let's bring it up, and we'll try. If you want to make some homemade ice cream.
Homemade ice cream, yes.
Hey, we'll be like Max Homa on Twitter. You know who that is?
No.
Professional golfer. On Twitter, he'll have people send in their videos of their swings, and he'll critique them / roast them. Yeah. So we may not roast anybody for bringing in, like you said earlier, bad ice cream is better than most things. And so we won't necessarily roast you if you bring in some quote-unquote bad homemade ice cream, yeah, but we'll sure let you know what we think about it.
Speaking of golf, it's like golf. Like a bad day of golf is better than no day of golf.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Today would be pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather stay inside.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so he had to figure out if he could do it. And
right.
by all accounts, he can, or he did, was able to get through all 18 holes. A person that I'm going to be pretty envious of throughout my entire life?
Who would that be?
Charlie Woods.
Well, of course.
He got to play. He was there. He got to play with his dad, and JT also went, Justin Thomas. All three of them were there yesterday.
So let me ask you, is anybody invited? I mean, can anybody just go like Tiger did and play?
No, Jared, we can't go.
That's not what I meant. I meant I guess only past winners are allowed.
Oh, anybody that's in the field.
Oh, okay.
And I would assume.
I was asking, is this fair? Is this fair?
Oh, anybody can go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. They didn't just say, hey, Tiger, you're the only one that can play at Augusta National today. No.
Okay.
Anybody can be there practicing right now.
Okay.
I'm sure there are guys that maybe not that early, maybe not on Tuesday the week before, but by the time we get toward the weekend, yeah, there'll be guys that either missed the cut down in Texas this week or guys that didn't play.
Right.
That'll be there getting some practice time in and getting used to the greens and the speeds and all that. What I was saying before Jimmy walked in with the ice cream that's clearly distracting me.
Take it out of your eyesight.
It is what you don't realize from TV, and anybody that's ever been there will tell you that you don't realize from TV is how undulated that course is and how hard it is to walk. I've been told that if you just have tickets to start walking a couple months before the tournament, just for spectators.
Yeah.
Because it's such a hard walk. It's up and it's down and there's not much flat. And the up is way more up than you realize. And it's a hard walk.
Yeah.
Just to walk it. So
it makes me nervous for the PGA.
Yeah,
I need to get out and start walking up and down my street.
I don't think it's anything like that. I mean, I've been on Southern Hills. There's a couple of pretty steep rises up to the clubhouse or down from, but nothing like what this is.
Okay.
And so, that's, I think, as much as is Tiger Woods' game in shape, which there's no way to know that. The track record would tell you, even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he's so familiar with Augusta National that he's able to kind of get it around until he finds something. But, the health part of it, and we'll know here in a couple of days. He'll see how he recovers today. And, by Thursday or Friday, I think we'll know if he's actually going to get to play the Masters. But you mentioned Southern Hills, and that's one of the first things after getting over the, how cool would it be to see Tiger at Augusta again? Then it's, now wait a minute. So if he can play there, surely he'll be ready to go with the PGA. It's another month.
Whoa.
And it's another month, almost 2 months out right now.
Yeah.
Then I'm thinking, okay, do I need to get my ticket purchased and sell it? because here's the thing, mine's on Saturday. What if, I mean, can you imagine what's that ticket worth if Tiger's in contention on Saturday?
Aaron.
What?
Mine?
It's Sunday. Yeah, even better.
And I've been trying to figure out a way to swap for Friday.
May not want to.
But here's the deal. Maybe I want to, because what if Tiger does make the cut?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
See? Anyways, well, what? That's another debate for another show. It's like, what would be more valuable if that were the case? The chance to see Tiger play on Sunday, or is his game up to snuff enough to make the cut? You want the best chance to see him.
It's interesting, though, because he's played well there. He won a PGA at Southern Hills back in, what, 2007? Yeah, it had to be 07. Struggled around in the U.S. Open in 01. He was kind of mid-pack, but then he dominated. Almost shot 62 on around there in the PGA in 2007 as the champion. Woody Austin, remember him? Hit it out of the water and stuff. Anyway, so that's a place that he's proven that he can play pretty well. And then...
Well, let's do a flight tracker and just keep an eye and see when he lands at Tulsa. And that'll tell us, right?
And then I want to check this. Yes. You know where the Open is? The Open Championship. The British.
I have no clue.
St. Andrews. Another place
he's had a lot of success
throttled.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can see it's starting to make a little bit of sense why in that back in February when he was at the Genesis Open out at Riviera, the first time we kind of saw him back in the, you know, since he'd played with Charlie, and you could tell he was frustrated that the timeline wasn't as fast as he wanted it to be as far as healing. And the first thought was, of course, he wants to get to Augusta. But then outside of just Augusta, you've got Southern Hills and Tulsa for the PGA, a place that he's won. And in July, the old course at St. Andrews, a place that he has dominated a couple of times. So kind of frustration maybe is coming out a little bit more once you start to look ahead to that kind of thing and realize, you know what, he had his eye on this the whole time. It wasn't a, hey, I may never play again. It's like, hey, wait a minute, I need to play this year because these are kind of my spots.
Right.
If I want a chance to win another major. So anyway, we'll see if he plays. But I'm sure we'll know by the, you know, Friday afternoon for sure. He has to tell, but I think we'll know in the next couple of days whether or not how it recovered and whether or not he's going to play. Final Four coming up on a Saturday down in New Orleans. Duke, Carolina for the first time in history in the NCAA tournament, which is still kind of shocking to me. Because of who that is, those two tobacco road rivals, because this is the end of it for Kay, is this the most anticipated national semifinal ever?
Great question. I saw this on the notes and I was looking earlier. I can't think of one better as far as, you know, blue bloods going up. You know, what would be better if it was a championship game? But we have time to process it and think about it. It's up there. I can go back to Indiana State, Michigan State.
You know, that was a final, though.
That was a final. You're right. You just won semifinal.
Yes.
Then I don't know, man. It's going to be hard to – it's anticipated, sure. Yeah. It's up there.
Here's what I have.
Do you have a list of some?
I have some others. I have Kentucky and Louisville from 2012 because of the rivalry, the state, that kind of thing.
Kind of similar storylines with
it. It is. Anthony Davis is on the Kentucky team. They end up winning the title. But so 2012, Kentucky, Louisville. I had 2008, all of it, because 2008 is still the only year in which all four number one seeds made it to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
And you had Memphis versus UCLA, and you had Kansas versus North Carolina. And that led to Memphis, Kansas, and that, you know, Chalmers and all that for KU to win the only title Self's got. So 2008 there. Back in 1996, Kentucky and UMass, it's Marcus Camby, UMass, versus Rick Pitino's Kentucky. That was a game that they played earlier in the year. UMass blew them out, like in the first game of the year. And they were two. It was kind of like a lot of people looked at it as varsity and JV for the two games that day. Like Kentucky-UMass was the final, and it turned out to be Kentucky beating Syracuse, I believe, in the finals to win. But that one, 91 Duke-UNLV.
Yeah.
UNLV trying to be a, you know, undefeated winner. I know Kentucky had that chance, what, 2015? Was that the year they went in undefeated?
Something like that.
But it didn't feel like the hype of what that was back then. Everybody remembers what happened on Monday night in 1983 with NC State beating Houston. But in a lot of ways, that first game that year was similar to Kentucky-UMass. And that was Houston versus Louisville in the semifinals. And it, you know, it, even in the documentary about the NC State national title, they talk about how those guys got done and they watched because everybody wanted to see that game. It's Louisville. I'm sorry. Houston-Louisville. Did I say UNLV? Houston-Louisville. Anyway.
You did say UNLV.
Yeah. I knew it was Duke-UNLV, but yeah, Houston-Louisville. I'm sorry. But anyway, that one was up and down. It was like 94-83, dunks all over the place, and just a big-time show. And then, because of the historical significance of it, I put down 1966, Texas Western versus Utah. And obviously, that's Don Haskins' Texas Western team with the all-African-American starting five. Mm-hmm. That ended up beating Kentucky in the finals and winning that title for what it turned out to be UTEP, but Texas Western back then. So those were some of the others. I wish this was vintage Carolina.
With?
Just a better team, like a more hyped team.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, with an 8 seed, they weren't really anticipated to get here. You have a first-year head coach. Yeah, you almost kind of wish, because of the storyline of Coach K, that it was at least Coach Williams would still be there.
Sure.
With a better team. And you could, I think that would add to the anticipation, sure. Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, nobody really started thinking about this until after they won on Friday, or on Thursday. Or Thursday and Friday, I guess. You know, even at the Sweet 16 round, we kind of joked about it Thursday, but we didn't necessarily take it serious. Whereas, you know, that hype starts building after Duke lost the Cameron game, if they're both considered Final Four teams, which I don't think North Carolina was.
No.
And so that's the only drawback is those two things you mentioned. First-year head coach Hubert Davis, it doesn't have the same zeal as obviously Dean Smith would. That's not possible. So Roy Williams. You know, that's a little bit different. And then just Carolina not being vintage. And so, but that doesn't mean it's not. It's going to be ad nauseum. I saw a story today. I mean, Marty Smith did a story of Kay leaving to go to the Final Four from Durham. So it's going to be all in your face for sure throughout the weekend. How much does that help take the pressure off of Kansas and Nova?
That everybody's going to be watching or focused on one
right.
game, and then there's the other game. I think it helps them, yeah. I mean, there's always going to be that pressure there. It's a Final Four, for crying out loud. But, yeah, I think that definitely helps them, and I think it almost helps Villanova more because there's going to be talk, and for myself included, that I feel like Kansas would be the favorite in that game and maybe the favorite in this Final Four. But Villanova's going, well, what about us? And you kind of mentioned it too. It's like no one's talking about them. And if that continues, they can just continue to do what they do, and that's win.
Yeah, they're only like 21-3 in the tournament the last 5 years. That's it. Two titles. I mean, we talked about it with Jim on Monday. I think Jay Wright is by far the most underrated coach out there because I think he might be the best. And he's not brought up in, you know, if you really start that conversation, it takes four or five or six to get to him because it's a tiny school that it's easy to forget about. It's not in one of the Power Five conferences. You know, that all that stuff that works against him, it's easy to forget him. But, man, that dude can get it. Can absolutely get it. And I think in a lot of ways you're right. Even as not only are the both teams being overshadowed by the Duke-Carolina thing, Villanova's even being overshadowed more because they're playing Kansas. You know, and then you go back to, you know, K's first title. I mentioned 91, the upset over UNLV. Who did they beat in the finals? Kansas.
Yeah.
Roy Williams and Kansas. So this kind of coming full circle. The more you kind of talk through all this, the more it just almost makes you sick because it feels like it's destined for Cade to walk out of there with the dadgum net around his neck on Monday. Just the way this is all coming back around. But let's hope not.
Yeah, let the conspiracy theories start. And that was fun for me. Because we have a bunch of blue bloods and always have the conspiracy theory of those blue bloods will get the benefit of the doubt a lot when it's a 50-50 call, or they usually get that call. And we saw a little bit of that, I think, going into this. Well, now you got the blue bloods. Well, who does that benefit? But I think it does benefit Coach K, because there's going to be that, well, it's Coach K. It's his last go-around. It was barely off the fingertip of Brady Manick. Let's give it to Duke.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not that.
It was off of his beard.
Yeah. I mean, you can. I hope the games are good enough for that to matter. You know what I mean? Because obviously in the Elite Eight, the games weren't. But we do have four blue bloods. Carolina's playing like a team that should be there. I mean, they've arguably played as good as anybody in this tournament so far.
The defending champ.
Yeah, I mean, they've been awesome.
Without arguably one of their better players in Manick when he got thrown out.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Which leads into our next question.
Yeah, who's the best player?
Banchero. Duke's big guy. For me. How about you?
Man, I think he's the best prospect. Mm-hmm. But I don't even know if he's the best.
I couldn't tell you who's on Villanova's team, honestly. I'm sorry.
Well, the one guy got hurt, Justin Moore.
And that sucks.
And the reason I know him is because he's got the same name as a country singer.
Oh, that's
I mean,
right.
Honestly, Gillespie for Villanova was hurt last year. So he's back, but then they lose that. I mean, it's a bad deal there for Nova for sure. You know, Abaji has got to be talked about. He's not been very good in the tournament. You know, the Big 12 Player of the Year, chance to be the National Player of the Year. Maybe.
Well, here's the funny thing.
Maybe he busts out.
Here's the funny thing. It's kind of a two-part question. Who's the best player? And I mentioned the best prospect, probably player, right? But who's the best playing player right now going into this far as having the best tournament? And Manick is in that conversation.
Manick 100% is there. And if you want to talk about like the most important player type thing, I'm not sure if Banchero is even the most important player on his team.
Yeah.
That Roach dude has been the closer.
Yes.
The little guy that is quick. You know, that's what makes him so scary. They got four first-round picks. And Roach.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
And I think Mark Williams has been great in this tournament for Duke. You know, you mentioned Manick, you know, Love, the guard. How do you say the big guy's name from Carolina? Bacot? No, and like I mentioned, Abaji hasn't been. You know, Remy Martin's been a huge part of Kansas in this run, getting him into the mix, him scoring points off the bench and that kind of thing. So, and then Nova, it's like, Jay Wright? Oh, no, wait, that's the coach. You know? And so,
it's... And isn't that such a compliment to them?
I think so.
It's like, they're a team.
But even their great teams.
Not just a guy.
Even their great teams that won titles didn't necessarily have super-duper stars. Had a bunch of really good guys, really good players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they're... I would not count them out, even though they're probably, and they probably like it, by far going to be the least talked about team going into Saturday. It'll be, oh, yeah, it's cool. Villanova, Little Beast School, Philly. You got a really good coach, that Jay Wright. He's underrated, man. But what about Kansas? They're the one seed. They're the this. They've been dominant. And then, of course, the other one will overshadow everything. So it's going to be a fun. To me, it's setting up to be a really good Final Four because
I'm anticipating it. Yeah,
big time names in that thing.
Yes,
from a school perspective, and big time players in it. And when you look around there, though, there's one team that's got them. Duke has the best players.
Yeah,
It remains to be seen if they'll play the best. Yep. Wrapping it up with a little NFL talk. And it looks like the participation ribbon folks got their way.
Okay, you mentioned it. What is this?
Overtime rules are a-changing, but just for the playoffs.
Okay.
Both teams get to possess the ball in the playoffs. If it's tied after both teams possess it, then it's over, then it's sudden death.
Okay.
So essentially, take it back to the playoffs this year, Josh Allen would have got the ball.
Right.
And the Bills would have got a chance to go tie Kansas City. Even though they gave up a 42-yard drive for the game-tying field goal with 13 seconds left.
It's like rewarding losers.
I mean, here's the deal. I get the idea because when you look at the playoffs, the last 12, it's like 10-2. The team that won the toss won the game. And who didn't want to see Josh Allen get the ball at the end of that game, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Who didn't? But there was still a way for Josh Allen to get that ball. Defense, stop him.
Defense.
But now both teams get it, and so that's what's going to happen. Both teams are going to get a chance to have the ball in the playoffs. And if they, like I said, if they both kick a field goal, they both punt, they both score a touchdown, whatever it is, then it goes to sudden death from there. But just playoffs. It was pretty lopsided vote, 29-3. I'd be interested to know who the three were.
That voted against it?
That voted against.
Probably the ones who are winning playoff games.
You know, but,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, Kansas City, I wonder how they voted because just a couple years ago they were in the opposite spot here. With Brady getting it and they never touching it. So, you know. But that's what's going to happen. And so, you know, it is what it is. And honestly, I don't know. I don't necessarily like the college playoff, the high school playoff, or overtime, I'm sorry. The college overtime, the high school overtime, the NFL, I don't really like any of it. So I guess I don't have really reason to gripe.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what the solution is because the idea
counter would be what is the solution? Yeah,
and for me,
just add time and play until the clock says zero.
That's honestly, I understand the idea that you don't want them out there playing because of the physicality of the sport,
yeah,
and all that. So for me, that's fine. Knock 5 minutes off of the court, make it a 10-minute quarter. But then that brings that the problem I have with all these the way that this is happening. You know, in the high school and the college game for sure, it doesn't eliminate kick, you know, like field goal kicking. But it completely takes away punting, punt returning, you know, that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it doesn't necessarily feel like the rest of the game.
Right.
And that's what stinks so bad about, like, say, soccer. They play, and then all of a sudden they kick penalty kicks. And, like, the game is done. The game is over. It's not the game anymore. You know, basketball, to their credit, they do it right. They just put time, but maybe that's it. They just put time on the clock and go.
Yeah.
And so the game is still the game. The first, you know, whatever, 32 or 48 or 40 or whatever minutes is the same. The overtime is the same as that. And the NFL is close, but not quite. You know what I mean? It's just not quite there. And so that's where, you know, the time management. I mean, think about what is one of the worst parts of being a Dallas Cowboy fan. Your idiot coach doesn't know how to manage the clock. Well, guess what? Overtime takes that out of play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it takes that part of it out of play, too. So, I don't know. I don't necessarily have that. I guess my solution would be put 10 minutes on the clock and go. And then whoever's ahead at the end of 10 minutes, you win. And if somebody's defense is bad enough where they can't get the other team off the field in 10 minutes, guess what? They don't deserve to get the ball.
Right.
Sorry about your luck. If you couldn't make a stop at 10 minutes, then you don't get the ball. Where I would kind of be, but this is
it's a delicate situation. You want to have a system that emphasizes both sides, all three facets of the game.
That's right. And the coaching.
And the coaching. And this, and it's, again, it's delicate, and it just doesn't feel like this is it. So.
What about, did you see the hiring thing?
No.
So the NFL is mandating that each of its 32 franchises be forced to hire a minority offensive assistant coach.
Why just offense? I mean, why is that narrowed down to – I mean, I don't get that.
That was exactly my question. Because this is something that is meant to be inclusive, and it's really going to be exclusive.
What if there's a really good coach out there?
What if there's a really good woman that's a great defensive coach?
Yeah, well,
don't have to hire her.
Yeah,
I'm not even talking about from the woman or the minority part of it. Why offense? That's exactly it. It's already trying to exclude one obvious group of people,
which is
white dudes.
Oh, right.
By making it minority or female. But now, not only is it excluding those, it's also excluding minority or female defensive coaches.
Yeah, that's right.
So the inclusiveness of the attempt turns out to be exclusive to the same group they're trying to include.
That seems counterproductive.
Yes, it does.
Very counterproductive.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the first thing I thought of was, why just offense? Why not just assistant coach?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the reason why is that this is kind of a gesture that is more designed to be PR? And here's why I ask that. When it's just because it's offensive coach, what is this league going to? Obviously, with their hires of, on as the as head coaches, young offensive minds.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, what are offensive assistant coaches really doing in the NFL right now? Coaching a position, maybe, but they're not calling plays. Those head coaches are calling all the plays,
right?
Because they're hiring guys to do both jobs. So, at the end of the day, is this just kind of a token gesture to say, hey, look, we're doing something, and it doesn't even really matter in the end because they're not – it would be better for them to be a defensive coach because they would have more input and more say than what they do on the offensive side.
Make the hire and go, here's your clipboard. Just look important.
That's what it kind of feels like.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And so –
Listen,
it'll be applauded by the people it's designed to get to applaud it, but if you really dig down deep into it, it's a little bit like, you know, the rest of the things that they're trying to do to try to show that they're not about just making money as a league. And as it turns out, that's what they're about, is making money as a league, because this is just empty. It's an empty gesture.
Right.
Because of the exclusivity that they put on it, trying to be inclusive.
Right. Oh, it's frustrating.
Yeah, here you go, Sammy. The league shouldn't be able to tell an owner who to hire for his business. I 100% agree with that, first off.
Agreed.
But since they're going to, it's almost like they pigeonholed this hire into such a spot that it doesn't even matter anyway. Everybody have a great Wednesday. Be safe out there.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.